Imagine discovering that everything you believed about human sexuality, all those natural feelings of jealousy, possessiveness, and the ideal of lifelong monogamy, might actually be cultural constructs rather than biological imperatives. This is the revolutionary premise of Sex at Dawn, which challenges our fundamental assumptions about human nature. The evidence is compelling. Despite our cultural obsession with sexual fidelity, approximately 50% of marriages end in divorce, and sexual scandals regularly topple the most vocal defenders of traditional values. Could it be that the widespread unhappiness in modern relationships stems not from moral failings, but from fighting against our own evolutionary design? What if humans didn't evolve for sexual monogamy at all, but rather for something much more communal and fluid? Our physical anatomy reveals fascinating clues about our sexual past. Consider the human penis, larger than necessary for reproduction, with a distinctive mushroom-shaped head that creates a vacuum effect during intercourse. This design literally displaces previously deposited semen from the vaginal canal. Why would evolution create such a feature if our ancestors were strictly monogamous? Similarly, men's testicles hang vulnerably outside the body to maintain cooler temperatures for sperm production, a costly adaptation that only makes evolutionary sense if sperm competition between multiple males was common throughout our history. Women's bodies tell an equally revealing story. The capacity for multiple orgasms, rare among mammals, suggests adaptation to multiple partners in succession. Female copulatory vocalizations, being universally the louder partner during sex, may have evolved to attract additional males. Even the positioning of the cervix creates what scientists call a hostile environment that only the fittest sperm can navigate, suggesting an evolutionary history of sophisticated sperm selection among multiple males. These anatomical features make little sense if humans evolved as lifelong pair bonders, but become perfectly logical as adaptations to a more promiscuous past. We're not descended from apes, we are apes, sharing ancestors with bonobos and chimpanzees just 5 million years ago. While evolutionary psychologists have long used chimpanzees as models for understanding human nature, our equally close cousins, the bonobos, offer a strikingly different picture. These peaceful primates use sex for virtually everything: conflict resolution, stress reduction, social bonding, and pleasure. They engage in face-to-face copulation, deep kissing, and non-reproductive sexual activities, all traits they share uniquely with humans. Why have scientists largely ignored these remarkable similarities? As primatologist Franz de Waal notes, had we discovered bonobos before chimps, discussions of human evolution might center on sexuality, empathy, caring, and cooperation, rather than violence, warfare, and male dominance. This oversight reveals a profound bias in how we've constructed our understanding of human nature. The bonobo model suggests our ancestors may have used sexuality as social glue, creating bonds between group members that facilitated cooperation and resource sharing in ways that strict monogamy never could. Thomas Hobbes famously characterized prehistoric human life as solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Archaeological evidence suggests the opposite. Hunter-gatherer societies, representing 95% of human existence, were remarkably egalitarian, with abundant leisure time and minimal violence. The Kung San of the Kalahari, for instance, spent just 15 hours weekly gathering food while enjoying diets more varied and nutritious than many modern humans. The shift to agriculture 10,000 years ago, representing just 5% of human history, transformed everything. As Jared Diamond notes, this may have been the worst mistake in human history, bringing nutritional decline, increased disease, and profound social inequality. With agriculture came property ownership, inheritance concerns, and the concept of women as possessions alongside houses and livestock. This fundamentally altered human sexuality from sharing-based to voyeuristic, repressive, homophobic, and focused on reproduction. Our current sexual norms aren't ancient wisdom, but rather recent cultural adaptations to agricultural economics, adaptations that may no longer serve us in the modern world. Throughout history, female sexuality has been systematically suppressed across cultures and continents. The medical diagnosis of hysteria, from the Greek word for uterus, exemplifies this pattern, with doctors manually stimulating women to nervous paroxysm, orgasm, from Hippocrates' time until the 1920s. This practice ultimately led to the invention of vibrators, which became the fifth electrical appliance approved for home use, appearing in Sears catalogs before electric irons or vacuum cleaners. The contradictions are striking. While treating hysteria with orgasms, doctors simultaneously condemned female masturbation as deeply dangerous, with prominent physicians warning it could cause blindness, insanity, and death. Medieval Europe saw women tilled for perceived sexual transgressions, with enlarged clitorises condemned as devil's teats, sufficient evidence for torture and execution. Modern research reveals female sexuality to be far more responsive and complex than traditional models suggest, with women's physical arousal patterns responding to virtually all sexual imagery regardless of their stated preferences, suggesting our understanding of female desire remains profoundly incomplete. For most men, sexual monogamy inevitably leads to monotony, regardless of their partner's attractiveness or the depth of their love. This biological response occurs independently of relationship satisfaction, driven primarily by testosterone. Studies show married men have lower testosterone levels than single men, while those having affairs show significantly higher levels, sometimes approaching their younger years. Even brief interactions with attractive new women can raise men's testosterone by 14%, affecting mood, energy, and cognitive function. When men mistake testosterone surges from sexual novelty for love, tragedy often follows. Many middle-aged men, experiencing declining testosterone levels naturally, misinterpret the renewed vitality from a new partner as finding their soulmate, abandoning long-term relationships. The aftermath proves devastating when they realize the hormone high inevitably fades, usually within 6 months to 2 years, and the person they left behind was actually a better match. This biological reality creates painful dilemmas for which our culture offers few honest solutions. The insistence on lifelong sexual monogamy creates unrealistic expectations that harm relationships. While passionate sex can be part of marital intimacy, it's a mistake to see it as the essence of long-term connection. Sexual desire naturally diminishes with familiarity, a biological reality we rarely acknowledge honestly. If the nuclear family were truly our natural state, why does it require such extensive legal protection and social reinforcement? The percentage of nuclear family households in America has plummeted from 45% to 23.5% since the 1970s, suggesting our current model may not be sustainable. The authors don't advocate a return to prehistoric promiscuity, but suggest we need more honest conversations about our conflicting desires for both novelty and stability. By understanding our evolutionary inheritance, we might develop more realistic, compassionate approaches to relationships that acknowledge both our need for security and our appetite for novelty. This might include more flexible arrangements, explicit discussions about attraction and desire, and relationship structures that better align with our evolved nature. We stand at a crossroads between ancient bodies and modern expectations. The path forward isn't about abandoning commitment or embracing hedonism, but rather creating relationships based on honesty about who we really are as a species. Perhaps by acknowledging our promiscuous past, we can build a more authentic future, one where we confront the sky together with both eyes open to the beautiful, complicated truth of human sexuality.